Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Hometown Sports Show and Radio, live from the City of Medicine, Durham, North Carolina, on this, the 11th day of August 2016. Well, welcome everyone to the Overtime Sports Show. I tell you what, we got an action-packed and a very good show today, as we're going to talk with head basketball coach Stephen Harden. Now, he is the head basketball coach at Lees McRae College in Banner Elk, North Carolina. And Banner Elk is in the mountains of North Carolina. I'm telling you what, it is a beautiful piece of heaven. Well, North Carolina in general is a beautiful state, from sea to shining sea, from coast to coast, mountains to the sea. We have the best state in the Union, but Banner Elk is located in a beautiful part of the state of North Carolina. We're going to talk to him today. We're also co-host today, Linda Van Smith. She'll be along a little bit later today. That's right, today, ladies and gentlemen. Say congratulations to Linda. She became an aunt one more time, and her sister's daughter had a baby earlier today. I'm not really exactly sure what his name is, but I did offer a suggestion. I did offer Michael. It is a great name. It has served me well. It served Michael Jackson well. Hee hee. And I'm telling you, Michael is a great name. But until that time, let's go straight to the Overtime Hotline. And here is Coach Stephen Harden, the head coach at Lees McRae in Banner Elk, North Carolina. Good evening, Coach. How are you?
I'm doing great, Mike. How are you doing?
I am doing absolutely fantastic, having a great day. It's a little hot down here on the ground. It's about 100 degrees, it feels like, down here. I'm sure it's a little cooler up in Banner Elk, but everything is everything. Let's get started. Let's jump right into this thing. Tell the listening audience out there about you. What trail you took. That's one thing that's interesting about coaches that come on the show. All of them have different stories and different avenues that were used to get to the jobs they're in now. So tell us your story of how, from the beginning to the job you have now at Lees McRae.
Well, I guess just for any basketball lover, I grew up, my dad was a high school basketball coach for 35-plus years, and so I grew up in the game. Naturally loved that part of it. So I guess you would say I'm an apprentice a little bit part of it. I don't know if I could do anything else. I don't know if I'd be good at anything else. But from there, I was a walk-on at Tennessee Tech University in Middle Tennessee. And then from there, I was assistant at Tennessee Tech, a brief stint at Tennessee. And then from there, I've been to King College, Bluefield College, so pretty much just all over the map, mostly in the South, anywhere from Virginia to Tennessee to South Carolina to North Carolina.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it seems like you love those mountain schools, Bluefield, love staying in the mountains.
Well, I've been stuck in the mountains, that's for sure, Mike.
Yeah, I can certainly understand that, though. I'm telling you, it is beautiful up there. Well, let's talk about Lees McRae. Last year, you were one game over 500. You were 16-15 for the season. But the most important mark is you were 12-8 within the conference, which is really what you look at. I mean, overall is cute, but the conference is what gets you to the big dance. So, that could be a lot of people say. A lot of people could say that's like using it as a transition year, kids learning the process, learning what it takes, to play Bobcats basketball. Because every team, and I hear people all the time, and it's really interesting. I don't know if you run across this or not, especially with high school coaches. And you've been a high school coach, and you'll have parents come up or others come up and say, "You're not coaching my son to play college basketball." What college do you want him to play at? And all of them will say Carolina, Duke, Wake State. Well, see, no matter what college they go to, you have to try to explain that to the parents. It doesn't matter what college. They have to learn the basic fundamentals and the process of being a champion. You just don't go out there and throw a basketball around and say, okay, play, and you get better. There's a method to the madness. There's a rhyme to the reason. And a lot of people don't understand that. And I know that's what you're – but the Bobcat process, explain what it takes for a player. If I'm out there now and I'm at, some high school in North Carolina, South Carolina, wherever, and I'm listening and I want to become a Bobcat, there's a process. You even need to start the process before you get there.
what makes the kind of player that fits into the mold of the Bobcat athlete?
I think just like what you were talking about with parents and overall, I mean, I think it's definitely a work ethic and a part that you got to be almost a one percenter. You know, only 1% of high school athletes get to play at the NCAA level if it's Division I, Division II, or Division III. And with us, I mean, we play fast. We got a pretty much exciting style, I guess, that you would call. This will be my fourth year coming in. Prior, Lees McCray was, I think they were a dominant force when it was a junior college, and when it went to an NCAA school, they struggled really hard when it was NCAA school. The most wins, you know, was single digits. And so for the past 2 years, we broke records at our school, and we finished second in the conference this year, which was naturally a record for our school. But our guys, you know, they want more. You know, they're really striving to put a ring on their finger and really want that conference title. So we got a lot of gels coming back and a lot of key pieces. We did lose our conference player of the year. We were lucky enough to have conference player of the year. We led the conference in scoring and in steals. So we play a little definitely up tempo style. We call it fire, which means a fearless, intense, relentless effort. We play a lot of guys, anywhere from 12 to 13, even 15 guys a night. And my big thing is just if you can bring effort and you can be smart, I'm going to let you do what you learn how to do your whole time. You know, AAU has really helped out on guys understanding the game, and so we don't want to constrict them that much, but at the same time, we want them to make sure that they're giving that max effort on the defensive end.
Yeah, I remember the days when Lees McCray was a junior college, and we were talking a little bit off air. They would come to my hometown of Murfreesboro, North Carolina, and they would play Chowan. And I'm telling you something, I remember going to the football games, and they were slobber knockers, man. Those football games were brutal. Yeah. I remember that green and gold, and they come down. They had some of the biggest guys you've ever seen in your life, and Chowan wasn't no slouch back then either. And it was brutal. And then, you know, we go watch the basketball games, and you know they'd almost turn into football games. I mean, it was a physical type of competition back in those days, and that's a little bit of difference between the JC and you know going into the NCAA is they're a little bit different standards. So I'm not going to say you're not going to get great kids, but the kids you get at JC, they're definitely in time going, and they have great talent. And they're going to go to, an NCAA school or somewhere. But you're having to take guys who, and frankly, sometimes, who are not as good as some of those JC guys, because the only thing holding them back is grades. I mean, that's it.
Exactly.
I mean, you know, the talent is there.
Exactly.
So, you know, you see some of that. Now, you have some players coming in that are going to make an immediate impact on your program. Oh, by the way, before I get to that, let me ask you a question. With Banner Elk, the elevation of Banner Elk being like it is up in the mountains, because it's pretty much up there, does the advantage go to playing that many players? I mean, you're bringing a team that's, let's just say, North Greenville. I mean, North Greenville is about as mountainous as the Sahara Desert. I mean, it's nothing. I mean, it's flat.
Right.
And then you bring those guys up there, and they may play 5-6 deep, but you got 13 deep. Is there an advantage to that, and does the altitude have something to do with, quote, I like to use this, the altitude has something to do with the attitude. I mean, your guys are used to it, but the other teams coming in, fatigue makes cowards of us all. Does it work to your favor that be at that elevation?
Well, we hope so. You know, that was the game plan originally, you know, and we keep that mentality, and, I know it's cliche now because they've been pretty well, but strength in numbers with the Warriors. I mean, we've really bought into that system, and we try to do that as much. You know, we're 4,000 feet up. I know App State is they really try to use that, but we play that style where we really try to push it up and down. And just like you said, a lot of teams will be you know 6 to 8 deep, and we're pretty even across the board. I mean, it's pretty tough to decide who's going to be in our rotation. So. So we're hoping that goes in our favor. It has, and we've just been tipping the iceberg, and I really feel like we got a chance to take it to that next level.
Yeah, because it blew my mind. Like we talked off air once again, I went to football camp at Appalachian State, and we were out there running routes and stuff and doing things, and all of a sudden, I mean, I just got winded. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it was just like, what in the world is going on? I mean, I could run all day. And I'm sitting there like, what in the world? And then when the coach said, son, you're a bit higher than Murfreesboro, North Carolina. You know, so
exactly.
I had to, that's what they did. It got me winded. Let's talk about the players that you're getting in, the freshmen that you signed, the lifeblood that of any program. It's your freshmen. You may have some transfers, JCs coming
right.
in. So let's talk about those impact players coming into the team this year.
Well, I think we got extremely lucky. We went a little different route this year. Our program has took the next steps. We're competing pretty well in the conference now and took that big turn. And we felt like we lost our senior. That was a D1 transfer in that was conference player of the year. It was our point guard, 6'6", left-handed kid. And then we also lost two other kids as well. And both of them were junior college transfers that really stayed – they're really staples of our program and took us to the next level. And our guys, we had a lot of redshirt guys as well. So we got some guys that are older, but we decided to go with all freshmen this year, and we got extremely lucky with the four freshmen that we signed for the varsity program. All those guys had multiple Division I offers, so we feel blessed. You never know until they put that green and gold on and go compete against somebody else on how well they're going to handle the freshman year. But we got high hopes for them. Marcus Kaseya is our first one. He is a 6'6", 6'5", point guard from Miami, Florida. That was top 10 in the state of Florida for a recruiting class. And then we also got Charles. Who is from like inner city Chicago, who I thought was under recruited, who's a 6'5", 4 wing, can run multiple positions, which the way we play them in a lot of different positions. Keith Hurd is a guy at Atlanta, Georgia, that is a 6'8", 6'9". He's extremely, extremely athletic. He's a guy that'll make Dunk Mountain exciting. He will definitely, he's a rim protector, and he'll go put it down with authority as well. And then our last one that is Wilson is from Murfreesboro, right in Middle Tennessee area. That was highly, highly recruited, and we got extremely lucky to get him. He's about a 6'2" strong guard that's got a chance to be. I mean, in time, he's easily a chance to be a player of the year caliber player.
I mean, isn't it fun to watch freshmen when they come in, no matter how many accolades they have? I mean, they're all AAU, they're all state, they're all world, they're all country, they're
right.
all whatever it is. And then when they come in and, you know, they're the big dogs. Where they came from, they got the swagger going on. And then when they have
exactly.
their first collegiate scrimmage against some of those upperclassmen, all of a sudden they find out, whoopsie. It's not what I think
exactly.
it is. I need to listen to
exactly.
coach. Because I can tell you from personal experience, the first time I was on the collegiate football field, the first time I thought I could do it all. I thought I could run you down. I could do this. I could do that. All I did was stood there and almost broke down into tears. When they snapped that ball, things happened so fast, I didn't know what was going on. And it's just, and they're going to have to learn that too. When that ball goes up in the air, they're going to experience stuff they ain't never experienced before. Because this
hey.
Is a totally different level, and it's glad you know it's really good to see them excel. You know, over the next few years. Now, as far as the conference goes, talk about the strength of your conference. I mean, every year there's always. Yeah, it's the big dog you got to catch and all that stuff.
Right.
But basically, overall, talk about the strength and some of the other teams in your conference that, and I would say that you have to battle, but you got to battle everybody. So it doesn't make any difference who it is.
Exactly.
Whether you take on the number one team
right.
the first day of the season or the last day of the season, you got to go through them. So talk about the strength of your conference.
I think it's pretty tough. You know, our conference, Carolinas, we're in the same region as the SAC conference and also the Peach Belt conference, but our conference, Carolinas, I felt like we kind of exceeded expectations last year. We were preseason picked roughly seventh, and we ended up finishing second. We were lucky enough to sweep Barton, which is kind of down towards your area, and then also beat Mount Olive, who was at the time ranked number 3 or 4 in the nation. Those are always going to be tough teams. You know, they reload every year and just get better. Also, King College has won the conference pretty much. They won it last year, and they won it maybe the year before right up close. I think they'll be also a team that'll be really tough. And I really did. We tried to make our schedule. I know it hasn't been released on the on the website yet, but a little tidbit about it is we try to make it as tough as possible in the region, so we have a great chance to get an NCAA tournament. And we're playing pretty much three CIAA schools with Winston-Salem State, Johnson C. Smith, and also the conference champion of Virginia State at our place, which will be a really tough game. And then we've added Lincoln Memorial, who lost in the championship game last year, Tusculum. Just like you said, our freshmen are going to get thrown to the fire early. We go to our first preseason pretty much exhibition game. We go right down to Georgia Southern, which is, you know, Division One, so they'll get thrown to the fire with the Division One, and then we turn around and play ETSU right after that. So I feel like that's just a couple of them. There's more. We go to Indiana Southeast, who's always top five in the country. Queens, who is always really high, and then also finishing off with USC Aiken, who is always ranked really high. So I feel like if we don't have the toughest D2 schedule in the conferences in the nation this year, we definitely have the toughest D2 schedule probably in the whole Southeast. That's for sure.
I was just listening to that schedule going, oh my, you know, especially when you're going down, you know, you're going to open up with, you know, Georgia Southern. But I think the best way to take that is, you know, it's like I've always said, if you play a team, let's say, in football, I use this analogy all the time. North Carolina Central now is starting to play Duke University in football. You know, they give them, you know, it's a pretty tough game for North Carolina Central because, well, Duke is just a little bit bigger. My contention is this. If you took those same players at Duke, put them in North Carolina A&T State University football uniforms, the Eagles would beat them because it's psychological.
Exactly.
You're not playing
right.
The jersey. You're playing the player. And if you can just get out of their head that I'm not playing Georgia Southern's jersey, I'm playing the guy in the jersey, and good things will happen. It's all psychological.
Right.
I mean, you can do it. And not tell the players, don't tell the players these guys are Duke players. Just send them out there in A&T uniforms. It'll be the roughest, toughest, nastiest game you've ever seen them win because they know they can beat them. But when you hear something like, freshman here, oh, we're playing Georgia. Oh, God, we're playing Georgia Southern. And my thing of it is, I'm not nervous because I'm playing Georgia Southern. Georgia Southern better be nervous because they're playing me. That's
right.
It. That's the key to it right there. You know,
exactly.
And it's just, I know it's difficult, you know. But let me ask you this, too. You know, you're kind of a young coach, and, you know, you're closer to the age of your players than, let's say, I would be. Okay, I'm the old school guy. I'm the old, I wear the Chuck Taylors. I'm that old, okay? So, you know, I came along when the first shoe came out. Dr. J came out with those Converse All-Stars. I'll let you know how old
I am. Oh, yeah.
Now, what about today's player? You coach high school. You've been around. How difficult is it, and I know it is, to coach today's players because of all the – just all the stuff. It's not, you know, maybe I don't know if stuff was, you know, in the old days, but it's like a lot of stuff now. So how difficult is it to coach players today in today's world?
You know, it's different. You know, you got to adjust and adapt every year because always, like you said, the time is changing and the game is changing and then the evolution of the player is changing as well. I'm lucky with our older guys. We've got a lot of North Carolina guys. Some of our older guys with junior seniors, Dante Falls, Josh Cather from Statesville, just to name a few that we have that are great leaders. And I'm just extremely blessed with our guys and what they do on and off the floor. We carried a 3.2 grade point average. We've gotten really lucky with our guys that we have right now that are really driven to team stuff. They're not really into the individual stuff. They just want to be the best that Bobcat basketball can be. So that's been a blessing. But at the same time, just like you said, you know, with social media and just with everything else, you know, it's a lot more stuff to deal with, I guess, if that's the best word for it. But just to manage and monitor and keep guys all on the same page. I think a lot of times the X and O's and the actual basketball stuff besides the skills kind of goes out of the window. And as long as you can get guys to buy in and believe in each other and believe in what we're trying to do together, then that's pretty much what propels nowadays. Because just like you said with earlier when we were talking with the AAU, you know, especially taking off in North Carolina, you know, has all kinds of players, and AAU is huge. that, you know, they know the game and they know how to play it. Now, if we can just get them to learn to play it together and to love each other and trust each other, then you've got over a huge hurdle, and then it's time to just make it fun.
Yeah, you know, I think the biggest thing that drives me crazy in today's time, I find, is these headphones, these Beats and all
right.
these that stuff. Because, you know, I hate to keep saying, I guess I'm old school, because the only thing I need to motivate me is another human being is trying to take something away from me.
Exactly.
And if that doesn't motivate, if Tupac has to motivate you, or somebody named, what, 50 Cent, what's that, Creflo Dollar, that brother, 50 Cent has got to motivate you, then I don't know what to say. I mean, it absolutely drives me crazy. But, you know, like I said, I have to adapt. That's why I retired from coaching a while back, because I just couldn't adapt to the, you know, now in baseball, I broadcast baseball for North Carolina Central and softball and everything, and each kid's got to have walk-up music now. They got to have walk-up music. They get to pick. And I'm sitting there saying, and then before the game, they got to have music playing in the stadium for them. They come up and say, Mr. Wood, do you think you can play some music for you? No. The only music, the only sound, the only note I want to hear is that bat hitting a ball.
Right.
That is the only music that should be to your ears. You want me to get here and play Beyonce? Who the heck is Beyonce anyway? You want me to do that? But anyway, Linda, you have some questions for Coach.
I do. Coach Hardy, how are you this evening?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. I was telling Mike yesterday that you all have a beautiful campus. I was there about 10 years ago at a teacher's academy, and the campus is just absolutely gorgeous. And I do want to say, Mike, I like what you said about mind over matter, and that's what it takes in order to be successful. But, Coach Harding, I just have a question for you. Your philosophy and brand for the Leeds McRae basketball team is fire, and meaning fearless, intense, relentless, and effort. Where did this inspiration come from?
Linda, that's a great question, and we are lucky with our campus, and we did a lot of upgrades lately to compete with everybody else, D1 and D2 nationally, but we are a little different in where we're at and how it looks, and when we get guys on campus, it kind of sells itself just by the we're lucky with all the natural surroundings around us, but with our fire. You know, as a brand, me and Mike were talking just a little bit about how when I first came into Leeds McRae, they didn't really have an identity, and basketball, when it went from a 2-year to NCAA school, it struggled, and we just need an identity and a passion and something for them to take pride in, and our guys have really bought into it. It's pretty much just, it can base on anything in life. Naturally, it can base on and off the floor. We just want you to give your best effort on everything you try to do, but just for the basketball part of it, we want our style and how we play fast and score it and try to defend. If we can get consistent effort and we use fire a lot, it's on our shirts and everything about our brand. I think when you're trying to, you know, first build a program, you need a brand, and probably stole them from Shaka and VCU and a lot of other teams that's had their brand, but it's been well for us, and naturally we're now 4 years strong into the brand, so it speaks for itself. But we've been really lucky for guys buying into it, and it took on a whole new meaning on how we want to play and how we want to conduct ourselves on and off the floor.
Okay, back to you, Mike.
Yeah, Linda, what's really interesting, talking to the coach there at Leeds McRae, we actually have a classmate of ours, Linda, that's there now. I don't know if you remember
who?
Mitchell Marlowe. Remember him?
Yeah,
Mitchell is there. He's in one of our classmates from Murfreesboro, North Carolina. He's up there at Leeds McRae.
What is he doing?
Yeah, he is. He's a dean of something, or he's handling something.
Yeah,
up there. I'm not really sure exactly what his job title is.
He's actually a dean of student development, and Mitch is a great guy, and we're extremely lucky to have him. And I know he's got some other opportunities that he's looking at right now. We hope we don't lose him, but he has been a staple for us at Leeds McRae. That's for sure.
My goodness.
Yeah, he's been there, and you can't miss him because he's about 7'100" tall, so
exactly.
You can't miss him.
Did he go to Leeds McRae?
No, he didn't go to.
I don't think he went to Leeds McRae.
Okay.
I think he played. If I want to be righty, I think he played at Mars Hill basketball for a little while until he got injured his foot. But yeah, he was. He's with us, and we've been extremely lucky for him. That's for sure.
Yeah. See, so the world is small, and it's very, very small.
It is.
There are Murfreesboroonians everywhere. We're everywhere. Yeah, we go here, there, and everywhere. Well, Coach, to wrap things up. If I was a kid, a parent, a grandparent, anybody who is in charge of young people and they want their kids or looking for a place for their kids to go to school, and first of all, first and foremost, get that education, and then through getting that education, have the privilege to wear Bobcats across their chest. It's not a right. It's a privilege you must earn to put it across your chest. What would you tell anyone who is looking to come to your school, like a recruiting pitch to bring a kid, and most of all, bring the parents to your school?
Yeah, I think naturally just what you guys have touched on a little bit. We're lucky we separate ourselves just by our campus and our community, and naturally it's a tight-knit community. The area is very affluent, and it's almost a summer home area as well, so you're going to get to come across people that you might not just get to meet in a regular basis. But just for our school and our basketball standpoint, you know, I think it's great. Parents love it for sure because there's not a lot of other extracurricular things that you're going to get distracted by. You are a basketball player and you're a student athlete, and that really helps us as well. And I'm big on guys that have – all guys have dreams, and dreams playing at the next level. And I've been lucky enough to put – 20-plus guys onto the professional level at some other parts. And if you're driven and if you really work hard, then we can definitely try to. But my goal and my job is to, after you leave Leeds McRae, to get you where you need to be professionally, if that's in basketball or if that's in life. And that is our pretty much our motto and what we want to try to do. I'm extremely blessed with both of my assistants. Coach Daniel Wan is a North Carolina guy that is a great recruiter for us. He's our recruiting coordinator. And then I am extremely blessed to have Keith Mr. Jennings, who was an All-American standout for ETSU and then also played for Golden State Warriors. And he's only a 5'7 guy, and he played in the league for 10-plus years. So for our guys to get to learn from him and the basketball aspect of it, I mean, I just can't ask for more. I just got to sit back and almost get out of the way and let them do their magic.
Yeah, another thing, ladies and gentlemen, I also want to let you know, I am a professional at this. I can promise you. Linda can tell you I am a professional. They got the best food up there that you could ever eat.
Yes.
Oh, my God. I'm a professional food eater. If you see me, you know why. And I'm telling you, all this happened. All I did was put cheese on a hamburger, and look what happened to me. One hamburger and a cheeseburger, and look at this. I swear to God, don't ever do it, ladies and gentlemen. I'm a professional. Do not try this at home. But they have some great, the apples, the fruit, the, oh. See, you know what? I'm going to drive up to Banner Rock tonight. That's what's going to happen.
You got to come up and watch the game, and we can feed you well. That's for sure.
You know what, Coach? You know what I'm going to do? I'm probably, and I'll get in contact with you, I'm probably going to take you up on that offer because I'd love to see Mitchell.
That'd be great.
I'd love to come back up there. I'd love to, you know, because it's a wonderful campus and great people. You know, it's just a beautiful atmosphere. I'm telling you. I'm going to hold you to that, Coach. I'm coming. I'm going to hold
that'll,
you to that.
That'll be great. We'd love to have you. That's for sure. I know.
I'll tell you what.
I'd love to have you up.
I can't wait. I'm going to do that. Well, Coach, thank you so much. And I'll get in contact with you. Don't you worry. I got your email address. I'm going to bug you about it. I'm going to come. I'm going to do that. Thank you so much for appearing on the Overtime Sports Show. And you know, best of luck to you this year with Bobcats basketball. I know that, you know, listening to you and just seeing the progress that they're making up there, that everything is going to work out just fine. If you finished second last year, I'm sure you shot for the top last year, but you'll get there this year because I just know it. I can just feel it. So, Coach, thank you so much for appearing on the Overtime Sports Show.
We appreciate it and appreciate all you do, Mike, and hope all is well for the show. And we're definitely excited, and hope everything keeps going great.
All right, Coach. And now, like I say, I'm going to hold you to it. I'm coming. I really am.
Come on, we'll have some food ready for you, that's for sure.
Okay. Thank you so much, Coach.
Have a good season, Coach.
All right. Thank you very much.
Uh-huh. That was Coach C. Stephen Harding of Leeds McRae College in Bannerout, North Carolina. Well, Linda, I understand that you had a bit of a package to arrive today, even though it wasn't UPS or Federal Express, but you had a package arrive. So you and Aunt one more time, and I just wish you would have talked to me before you named the kid. I'm telling you, Michael would have been a great name. Michael would have been the perfect name.
I'm
going
to tell Brenda to tell her daughter that.
That's it. Yeah, Michael is good. He can spell it. He doesn't have to go to college to learn how to spell it. He doesn't have to get a pronunciation guide. You know, he can just spell it. It's M-I-C-H-A-E-L, and that stands for absolute greatness.
Absolute greatness.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for listening to us tonight on the Overtime Sports Show. We'll be back on again tomorrow at 6:30. By the way, who do we have on tomorrow? Well, let me check my crystal ball here.
We have Jaquise Curtis on Monday, Shaw University.
Okay, so we're off tomorrow.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, we're off tomorrow. Okay, yeah, so we come back on Monday with a brand new show. Yeah, sorry about that. I used to take one day off a week for stress break, so I guess I keep going and going and going and don't know exactly, you know, sometimes just everything just builds up. So, okay, well, thank you so much for listening to the Overtime Sports Show, and we'll be back on again Monday right here on Blog Talk Radio, and you have a great and safe weekend, and thank you so much for listening. Goodbye, everybody.
Take care.